This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Lisa Simeone. Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution specializing in defense and strategic studies. He joins us here in our studios. Welcome, Michael. Now, this morning, President Bush said that Americans should be ready for a long, protracted response. What exactly does that mean? What's that going to look like?
Well, first, I don't think they have yet decided. Just a couple of days ago, Colin Powell was going around saying we have not come anywhere close to figuring out target lists, much less the basic kinds of military force you would use. I think it's unlikely we'll go to a major ground invasion, at least anytime soon. I think it's more likely that we'll have a combination of some bombing raids, although you've got to ask, what are we going to target in Afghanistan, a very underdeveloped country? Perhaps we'll support the Afghan resistance in the north and hope to put pressure on the Taliban that way.
What, meaning give them money and arms?
And then supply air power, provided ourselves, to support them when they go on the offensive. That's one possibility, after some initial bombing raids against whichever Taliban assets we can find, but there aren't going to be too many. Another thing is to actually station people in the vicinity for a very long time as a way to put pressure on the Taliban. If they ever move equipment, we can target it then, or as a way to seize bin Laden, to be ready if and when we ever are lucky enough to find out where he is, and to have people in the region for a protracted period to do that.
Well, you say lucky enough to find out where he really is. In fact, isn't that one of the big problems, that our army is trained, or armies in general are trained to fight wars against countries, not against these cells that keep hiding and moving around every 24 to 48 hours?
Yes, although I'm not sure the problem is any lack of capability in the U.S. military. We do have extremely good special forces, and I have no doubt they could pull this mission off. But there is some risk, of course, of casualties. And Jimmy Carter's presidency was essentially sealed in a very negative way when Desert One failed to rescue the Iranian hostages. Now, we've gotten a lot more proficient at these sort of operations since. But the Carter effort to try to rescue our embassy personnel in Iran shows the risks in something like this. That's why Bill Clinton didn't try it 3 years ago and instead resorted to cruise missiles. Of course, today the situation's much different. After having lost 5,000 Americans on Tuesday, I think we'll risk a few casualties. And we can do this if we find out where he is, but that's the hard part.
Well, you say a few casualties. Are we talking about, I mean, how many deaths are we talking about?
Well, if we get lucky, very, very few, single digits, because it could be simply a firefight against the people immediately surrounding bin Laden if we happen to find out where he is. But if he happens to have thousands of people or hundreds around at any given moment, and the Afghan army helps defend him, and we don't quite know where he is, and we've got to then check several different places at once, maybe a couple of helicopters get shot down, you can imagine U.S. losses going into the dozens, and the mission may even fail. So I think you're talking about, you know, not a major ground war and not casualties in the hundreds or thousands in this kind of a mission, but the risk of losing dozens of people and the risk of the mission not succeeding.
Well, what other countries besides Afghanistan could be directly involved in this?
Well, James Woolsey, the former head of the CIA, has raised the specter of Saddam Hussein being behind some of these various terrorist strikes throughout the 1990s. Saddam may have calculated that he can get away with this, that we're certainly going to retaliate if he attacks the United States directly or any one of our friends in the region, but perhaps if his fingerprints are not evident on any support for terrorism, there's a good chance that he would certainly not have any compunction and perhaps some desire to go ahead and support terrorists. So Iraq has to be seen as a major concern. Then, of course, there are the usual suspects in addition, the Libyas and the North Koreas. But with most of those countries, we've seen some progress in relations. And again, they're going to be pretty nervous about active support for this kind of mission. So I really think it's Afghanistan is at the top of the list and no one competes. And then after that, Saddam Hussein is the second most serious concern.
Michael O'Hanlon will be with us again later in the hour, and we'll talk more with him about this.